morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. A full show ahead today, as we like to do it. We're going to kick off here momentarily with Mr. Reginald Boulding, a member of the Arizona House of Representatives representing District 27, the first of our multiple-part conversation with state legislators ahead of the state legislature opening day next week. Again, Mr. Boulding represents District 27 up until the end of the last term, served as the minority whip in the Arizona House, and now as the minority leader of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. So that's our first conversation today, a big look at the issues ahead of our state legislature as it gets back into session. We'll, of course, talk with Devin Underwood, workforce pivots, getting our employees and employers back to work well in Tucson and Southern Arizona. And then in the third segment, I will briefly address some thoughts on what happened yesterday. It's fresh for all of us, but I'll share what's on my mind, and we'll address what happened yesterday. A busy day that we knew it would be, but a lot of a day that we didn't know that it would be. So that's our show today. Let's get into it. We've got limited time with Mr. Reginald Boulding. Sir, thank you for your time ahead of what will be a busy week for you as well. Next week, thanks for your time on the air. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on your position now as the minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives after, again, serving as the minority whip in your last term, which I believe is your second term. So you're going into your third term now in the Arizona House?
So, you know, I'm actually going into my fourth term. So this will be my seventh year at the legislature, which, wow, you know, every single year presents a new challenge and a new opportunity.
Wow. Yeah, and that's exactly what we'd like to get into here with you. As you look ahead at what are going to be the first issues of discussion in the first week or two, as you look ahead at what this session will hold, give me some of what you think the priorities will be, should be, and are as you enter next week.
You know, for us, I mean, we really want to make sure that we are, you know, we restore, recover, and really rebuild what we believe could be a better Arizona. And that really starts with making sure that we tackle the crisis that's at hand right in front of us, and that's COVID-19, and making sure that we have a comprehensive response to COVID-19 in a form of, you know, an equitable vaccine distribution, that we're supporting small business relief. This unemployment system, we see that there's so many cracks in unemployment. You know, there's an eviction crisis, you know, child care, and making sure that we are feeding families. You know, so for us, creating a comprehensive COVID response is top of mind for us. But we know know that there's other issues that also matter in addition to COVID, you know, and that relates to our schools, making sure that we still have, you know, access to quality schools and healthy communities. There's criminal justice reform, there's police reform, there's, you know, defending democracy. So there's so many different issues that we plan on tackling, but we know we have to first slow down this virus in order for us to really get a grip on how we can move forward with our state.
Yeah, we're with Reginald Boulding this morning, again, the minority whip, minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives as session opens next week in the Arizona State Legislature. I would love to get into the weeds a little bit, especially in our second segment, on some of those things that you mentioned, the vaccine, schools, economic development. It was a weird session last year. There wasn't a lot of activity. This is really the one of the first times that all of you will be back in a room to discuss. What do you think needs to be done in 2021 that wasn't done or wasn't done as well in 2020 in response to the pandemic?
So, I mean, with regards to, you know, last session, you know, we got out of there pretty quick. You know, we approved a budget that, you know, what was called a skinny budget, or essentially a continuation of what happened the year prior. And that, I really believe that was a failed opportunity for us to attack COVID-19 issues head on. I mean, the fact of the matter is you have a tsunami of individuals who are facing, eviction, a tsunami of individuals who are at a place right now in which, they just don't have the resources that they need to survive. And then you have an unemployment system here in Arizona that's actually one of the lowest in the country, in which, if you qualify, you only can receive $240 a week maximum. And there's rules in place where if you earn more than $30 a week outside of unemployment, you then lose your benefits. So we have a system that actually disincentivizes individuals to actually, find long-term employment, which we need to fix. And we have to make sure that we are tackling those issues. So that's the first thing, right? We need to go back to the drawing board and say, look, we have a crisis in place, but this crisis is only uplifting what issues we already had before that. So we definitely got to start there, and we got to continue to move forward.
You've mentioned, Mr. Bolden, a few topics. We'll get into those: evictions, vaccine, economic rebuilding. We'll get into some of that in the second segment. My last question here, as we've set the table before our first break here, before we go to segment two, is yesterday we saw at a lot of state capitals around the country, a lot of unrest. I've had ahead of this interview and had pictures sent to me of the guillotine that was set up at the Arizona State Capitol. Do you expect any unrest? I mean, we're talking the 11th, which I think was that Monday or Tuesday next week. Do you expect any unrest or any continued protesting around the presidential election? Do you expect to see that at a state level going into next week, or do you think it'll calm down?
It's hard to predict the actions when you have people who are making irrational decisions. I mean, I don't think there's any person in this country who did not think what we saw over the last 24 hours was just un-American. I mean, that is not what this country is founded on, and the fact of the matter is we have we've had a president at the leading this country based on a lot of conspiracy theories, and that has unfortunately forced a lot of people to really believe in that, in those things. So I expect that there will be protesters or folks who are trying to push back against a system that we know has been secure. But it's really hard to just predict what are next steps. I can say we'll be ready and we'll be prepared.
Well, certainly, I hope for everybody's safety, and I have to believe that the majority of Americans participate in peaceful protest on either side of the political aisle. But there's always that contingency that can create cause for concern. So we wish all of you, RND, everybody, our state legislature, safety coming off of a tumultuous week and starting next week. Let's go to our first break here. When we come back, we'll talk vaccine, we'll talk economic rebuilding, we'll talk evictions. At least we'll see what else we get into as we talk the issues ahead for this state legislature in Arizona as it opens on the 11th next week. We'll be right back here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Your source for trusted local news and talk, 1030 The Voice.
Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Care's Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson. Your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games, and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe a la Carte. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
And welcome back to Tucson in Southern Arizona into the 1030 The Voice studios. Joining us here this hour, this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. As the Arizona State Legislature prepares to open session next week, we're having a couple conversations with state legislators from around the state about the issues ahead. We're talking this morning with Mr. Reginald Boulding, the minority leader of the Arizona House of Representatives, a Democrat starting, if I remember right, your fourth term in the state legislature. I want to jump right in because you mentioned a few issues. We're seeing Arizona again top the charts for COVID-19 spread. We're also seeing Arizona as a whole being slow to distribute vaccines. Pima County, the county that we're airing live from now here, is the fastest, the best to get the vaccine out of any of the counties in Arizona as of yesterday. But it seems like it's been a slow start, Mr. Boulding. What do you make of all that? And is there anything that the state ledge can do to speed up the process?
Yeah, the first thing is we have to make sure that all of those frontline workers, healthcare workers, teachers, those who have been really during this stage, really, helping ensure that we can move forward as a state and as a country, that they receive the vaccine first. And I know as that process is being played out, that is something that we have to make sure that the distribution is working. The reality is, like, you're facing a public health crisis at the same time that you're also facing the logistics of a vaccine. But we know that that's something that it has to be done in an equitable manner. And I am concerned that, that we have seen, some hiccups originally when the vaccine started to come out. But I do believe that, things will actually start to move forward in the right direction. And if they won't, and if they're not, I can assure you that, definitely from our caucus, we'll be making sure that we're pushing the envelope to make it happen.
Mr. Boulding, Arizona is one of the top states for in-migration of individuals domestically from the rest of the country. Before the pandemic, Arizona was one of the highest performing states economically in the union. Certainly I think there's often this conversation of, is it public health or is it the economy? And I, as I've said so many times on the air, we don't get the choice of picking which one we emphasize. It's mm-hmm. very much a parallel track in my mind. As we manage the health side of this, Mr. Boulding, what does the economic recovery policy making look like? How do we build our economy back in a strong way? And what is your role at the state legislature in making sure that happens?
You know, there's a lot of different things at the legislature that I think that we could actually do to make sure that we're moving forward in a way that's going to allow the recovery. But I also want to just double emphasize and lift up what you said. Again, it's a twofold approach, right? We have to slow the spread of the virus in order for us to actually have the ability for us to move toward, you know, an economic recovery. And some of the issues that I already talked about are economic drivers. You know, for instance, unemployment insurance and making sure that people who aren't working have resources that they need that they could actually put into the economy. That's gonna help. You have so many people right now who are, for lack of a better word, you know, sitting on the bench waiting for our unemployment system to actually work its way through the process so they can receive support. And because of that, you know, they don't have the resources that they need to actually go out and buy those things. So that's one area. I mean, one of the other things that we believe is going to be extremely important is that, there are a lot of families right now that have children who are learning virtually. So you have mom or dad who have to be at home, and they actually they're working with their kids' education, and they're doing virtual learning, which is creating more challenges for them to actually go out into the workforce, and they've had to make those decisions there. So making sure that we have child care subsidies that can provide opportunities for care for parents and their children. And not only utilizing some of those federal dollars with state dollars to make sure that that's happening. And then, you know, with regards to small businesses, we know that there are so many small businesses right now that have just faced so many challenges. We have to provide them with the direct support so they can continue to operate, because what we know is small businesses are the engines to our economy. If our small businesses are working, they're hiring, and we know we're building up the economy. So we want to definitely focus there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you on the small business side, 1 or 2 minutes maybe on that. What does that direct support look like? A lot of business owners listen daily, are listening now, and frankly feel unsupported. What can be done better in 2021 for our small businesses?
You know, I think there's a few different things that we can do at the state legislature. One of the biggest challenges that I think, particularly in my district, is when you had many small businesses who were entered into a lot of long-term lease agreements and contracts, and it was very difficult for them to actually, keep the lights on and actually, pay, the high price of mortgages, the profits that they were using and generating from their business were actually allowing them to stay in place. And what we had was a system in which, they weren't able to afford, their monthly lease and their monthly rents. And they ultimately were, kicked out of the building, which meant that their businesses weren't able to move. So I think we have to, from a state standpoint, we can, definitely work with our banks. We can to provide support for not only the owners of those buildings, but also the tenants in those buildings to make sure that there's some type of relief there. Additionally, I think we have to make sure that we're tapping into federal dollars much quicker. And with regards to specific cash payments, that we are creating a system that's going to, again, allow our business owners to keep, those workers who work for them still in the pipeline. You know, as a small business owner myself, the worst possible thing to do is to have to lay off employees, then get the resources and try to find them back. The reality is people, they have to do something to survive. So restaffing is just extremely difficult. So if we can provide resources to help keep our small business employees still connected and bridge those dollars, that's something I believe we can do as well.
Real quick to wrap this up, because I do want to get to evictions in the next 5 minutes. We're talking with Democratic Minority Leader Reginald Boulding in the Arizona House of Representatives. Dr. Crist, who was just on the show about a week or two ago, and Governor Ducey adjusted some benchmarks around when businesses might be, you know, required to shut down or lock down, basically in effect, preventing that happening in 2021. Do you approve of that ability for businesses not to be shut down or locked down in the future? Do you think that was too stringent or too light?
You know, I mean, you have to, I think one thing that's important is context matters. I think that strong leadership is not, you know, telling people what they want to hear. It's actually making the right decision that you believe is going to be best, not only for the health and safety of our people first, right? And without people, you know, surviving and being able to actually live and breathe, you know, there is no economy anyway, right? So I think we have to make sure that we're protecting the health and safety of our people first. And the context is, if you have cases that are rising, if you have solutions that are not actually being implemented, then you have to make tough decisions. And I believe that there shouldn't be, we can't make this a political decision. We have to actually make judgment calls on what we believe makes the most sense for people. And I don't think it's a clear yes or no. It's a, what's the context that we're working in to make a decision in that moment to help people.
Mr. Boulding, the eviction moratorium was extended to the end of this month. The new federal dollars through the stimulus that's coming, I've heard, allows for either tenants or landlords to apply for 9 months of back pay of rent and up to 3 months ahead of rent. How can the state legislature tackle this eviction problem? I've given you about 2 minutes. I apologize, but want to cover this topic.
No, I mean, I think this is an important topic, and I think it's important to recognize that this is a public health necessity when we talk about evictions. The reality is, if we really want to stop the spread of the pandemic, we also have to make sure that we are not, putting more people out on the streets, and we're actually providing an opportunity for them. So one of the things that we have to do from our standpoint is we have to, you know, have a more streamlined application process. What happened, what we've seen early on, is we had a substantial amount of dollars for Arizonans to actually take advantage of, but the application was so convoluted and difficult that people actually couldn't even fill out the application to get access to the resources. So, you know, our push has been to make sure that the housing department and the governor, that they are making a system that is not so difficult to access that you can actually receive those resources. And we want to make sure from a standpoint, you know, as you have individuals who lose their job or have unexpected medical bills, that they are not then find themselves in an additional crisis with this, you know, eviction aspect. So as a state, we have to make sure that we are, one, making sure people know about the CARES Act dollars and making those readily available, and two, from a state standpoint, making sure that any resources that we have, that we are able to do that in a streamlined process so people can get money in their pockets immediately.
Mr. Reginald Boulding, the Democratic Minority Leader in the Arizona House of Representatives, thank you for your time this morning ahead of session opening next week. Good luck to you and to our state, and we'll talk soon, I'm sure, on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back here on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice after a short bottom of the hour news and sponsor message break. We'll talk about yesterday a bit. Don't go away.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games, and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe a la Carte. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back from the bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages break. If you're just joining us, welcome on in. You're listening to this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We just wrapped up a conversation, a first in at least two or three, with state legislators from around the state of Arizona, giving us their insights, their thoughts, their look ahead at the upcoming legislative session, which is going to open on the 11th on Monday. And so we wanted to get a view from both a Republican and a Democratic angle on what is ahead. We should, by the way, have Senate President Karen Fann on the show within the next few days as well. So we'll get a good look at what's coming up here on a local level. So if you missed that, you can go back and listen to the podcast, either kvoi.com/podcast, or you can go to iTunes or Google Play Music and check that out. A two-segment conversation with Reginald Boulding, the Democratic minority leader in the Arizona House. We're about to shift over to our conversation with Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots, getting our workers and employers back to work well in Tucson and Southern Arizona. But a few quick minutes. As we planned yesterday for today anyway, of course, a review of what happened yesterday. The stuff that we knew was going to happen was a review of the certification of the election results. Early morning this morning, Congress certified the electoral votes, giving Joe Biden the victory. He'll be president-elect for 13 more days, inaugurated on January 20th. President Trump committed to a peaceful transition this morning, and so we are heading towards the 20th. What we didn't expect was the scenes of going from one moment legislative activity happening to an overtake of the U.S. Capitol building. And it's something that I will always remember watching. I was talking with some friends yesterday on both sides of the aisle, that this is one of those days where you will remember where you were when you watched it, when you saw it happen, when you watched our state capitol being overrun. And for the first time in centuries, activity happening. And I like many people, were disturbed and saddened by the scene that we saw yesterday. And a lot of people texted and said, what are you going to say tomorrow? What do you say about this? And I'm still processing. I'm still thinking about it. But let me take a bit of a different angle. And there's a lot of angles out there, a lot of perspectives on what happened yesterday. But let me give you mine. I think what we've seen in 2020 on both sides of the aisle, and by the way, I'll speak to that statement in just a minute, is that I think in America we have come to the point where we are so willing to burn our institutions to roll over the ashes. And I think about that on many levels. I see that in our media. We've become so willing to say our media is biased. We're going to go create our own. We're going to burn it down to the ground. And what we've resulted in is not only media with some level of bias in it, but now we've created on both sides of the aisle media that is driven by conspiracy and extremism. We've become so willing to burn our institutions that we now just to rule over the ashes. I see that in our political institutions. I think that what was discouraging to me so much was to see the People's House overrun by yelling and screaming and desecration of our traditions, of our values, of the truths that we have lived by, of the places where we continue the freedoms that we've fought so hard for. But this has been happening for a long time. We're so willing to burn down our institutions to rule over the ashes. There are so many who are willing to burn down our parties, to burn down our legislative capacities, to rule over the ashes. I think about our public servants who often fit in that, where so many of our public servants on both sides of the aisle have forgotten their duties and what it means to be legislators and to be policymakers, and have turned the process into a stage. I think about, you know, throughout 2020, when we saw the streets in our cities, when we saw our businesses burn, when we saw homes burn, when we saw people's livelihoods burned, we have become so willing on both sides of the aisle in America to burn our institutions, to rule over the ashes in the way that we would like to see fit. And the truth would be the last one. I want to urge everyone listening, if you are a Wall Street Journal or New York Times reader, go to Fox and Gateway Pundit and some of these other sites just to see what's being discussed. If you're hanging out on some of those sites and you're listening, do some reading of the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. I don't think anybody holds truth. Right now, truth is a conglomeration of many, many different perspectives, but people are not seeing or reading or communicating with different perspectives. We are in our own silos where we get to burn down objective truth to rule over and have the truth that we would like to see fit. I think 2020 in so many ways has been a story of us as American people, right and left, being so willing to burn our institutions to rule over the ashes. And I think we saw a symbol of that yesterday. I want to close with this, and you're getting my raw thoughts. This is not stuff that's written down. Maybe it should be. This is not stuff that I've normally thought about. You know, I've got a lot of stuff in my head I'm trying to sort through. So you're getting kind of the real and the raw this morning. And I want to address something really quick that I think is concerning. I've seen so many people say, well, hey, you know, you, and not Mimi, but whoever you is, are not okay with what happened yesterday, but you were okay with what happened in the streets of America over the summer. And I want to say two things about this. Number one, I personally decried the violence in the streets, and a lot of people did. Violence does not justify violence, and it just doesn't. And I think most Americans are not okay with violence of any kind. That most Americans want a reasonable law and order and decency in our communities. None of what we've seen, none of the burning of our institutions to rule over the ashes is okay in any way. But I'm also concerned about the whataboutism that I saw yesterday. And this is not an R or a D statement in my mind. I think to say that the overrunning of our state capitol, that the takeover of our state capitol, of the People's House, of the running and screaming and trampling through it and over it and in it, to say that that is justified somehow because of what happened in the streets of America this summer. Not only is neither of the two justify each other, but to use that as justification I think it's a sad day in America. And I think as people in America who I think the majority of us want law and order and decency and respect of each other in this country, I think that we can't be for those things when it's convenient for us. And then when it doesn't fit the narrative that we want to live by, then we're not okay with it. We have to do better. We have to ask for better. We have to live by better in this country. I'm discouraged by what we saw yesterday. I'm discouraged by the fact that as an American people, I think all of us, we have become too willing, and 2020 was the picture of it, now bleeding over into 2021. We have become so willing to burn our institutions, to burn the things that make our communities, both physical and ideas, to roll over the ashes. And we've got to do better. I don't know what else to say, whether it is a willingness to burn down our parties, to trample on our institutions, to do away with the truth. Neither side should be doing it, and neither side can justify the other. And if we don't change where we're going, we will be at the point of no return. So those are some of my brief thoughts. I don't know if it made sense. If it didn't or you disagree, zyenser@gmail.com. You shoot me an email. Let's have a chat. But we've got to move forward from this and stop being so willing to burn our institutions, to rule over the ashes, because that's what we'll end up with. Let's go to our last break. When we come back, we're going to end on a much brighter note. Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots. We're going to talk about bringing employers and employees back well here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We'll be right back.
Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloveWhereILive.com.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Hey, Tucson. Welcome back to this Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, joined now in studio by one of our weekly guests, Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots. She's the founder and principal of The Talent Store and works to help Tucson's workers, employees, employers get back to work well in normal times, but certainly during this time. Good morning, Devin, to you. Happy Thursday.
Good morning, Zach. How are you?
Doing well. Happy New Year to you as well. This is our first conversation here in the new year. We're off to a bit of a start, but we'll get through it.
And
excited to
have this since March, right? Us connecting after some history making shift in what's going on around us, right?
It has been a crazy time. I've been talking with people that that I think many of us hoped for a little bit of a break the first week of January. And at least I know the topics that we've covered on the show at state, local, national levels, it is just the pace has not dropped off from 2020. And I assume that's true, Devin, with businesses as folks are getting back from the break and into work. What are we talking about today? What are you seeing with employers and employees? How do we get both back to work well here in 2021?
Yeah, I think it's true. I think a lot of the exterior, I hate to say noise going on because that minimizes it, but all of the stuff right now going on through really the political season has been challenging and distracting. And then the numbers in the pandemic are pretty scary for people. And I know it's hard to kind of go through daily life, but many have to. Because they've got to keep things going. So, you know, in that, and I think last week we talked about on the employer side, thinking about talent needs based on goal setting exercises and visioning what you're going to do in 2021. And really this week we can talk about on the talent side, as a talented individual, you know, there's a lot of them out there that have been working from home, less connected with their coworkers, which we know is one of the reasons people choose to stay at work. Sometimes when they don't have those relationships around them, is immediately they start to really look at, what do I actually do? Do I really like what I do? Am I passionate about it? Am I making a difference? Those are a lot of questions going on in people's heads. And with that, people are wondering, is it time for me to make a shift in my career? And so I think this week we can talk a little bit about what does that look like as somebody, a talented individual in the marketplace? How do you make that shift and what do you start thinking about?
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, we call this segment Workforce Pivots. I love to talk about that from the employee side, Devin, but maybe before we're done, maybe you could give a call to action also to employers who, for maybe some, that was a wake-up call just there. Maybe a lot of our employers don't know that, hey, some of your employees may be smiling on the Zoom, maybe clocking in and out on time, but they're thinking about letting you know in the next week or two, I got to move on. And what can employers do to stay ahead of that? But let's start with the employee side, as you mentioned, Devin. Give us some thoughts and advice if someone is listening who's working with and for a company as they're entering the new year here.
Yep. So there's a couple pivots to make. One is staying with the same type of role you have now, but looking at a new company to do that with. The other is taking your skills, expertise, and experience and maybe pivoting into a new industry or into a new type of role, you know, just depending on where you're, what's calling you and where you're at. And that takes some time. So sit down and think about, one of my favorite questions to people is, what are the top three things you want to make sure are in the next position in order for you to stay long term? And this can be environment, this can be type of team, this can be pay, benefits, type of work, industry. What's on your checklist? And really get inside of yourself and think about that. And then, you know, what types of industries can you transition your unique skills and experience to? How do you find that out? You know, start looking, go on LinkedIn, see what's local. Is there somewhere you want to move to? How do you research out those companies? Lots of different ways to take a look at that and really start to then get a plan on who to reach out to. And then on that, you know, a huge piece that I talk to people about is, how do you use your resume to get seen? when you are making that pivot. And so really making sure your resume is clear, that you're speaking to the job as it's posted, you're using the language they use to describe your real skills and experience, your job titles that you've had in the past, if they're a little bit creative or out of the box, make sure you've got parentheses to what that role actually translates to. Keep it simple, keep it clear. Don't have an entire page of awards and superlatives, but make sure you're showcasing and advocating for the ones that really resonate with that role you're looking for, on and on. And I think that's one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle I hear from people is, I'm just not getting callbacks. People just don't understand how I transition into this role. And oftentimes I look at their resume and really it's almost just a technical systems issue. They're getting lost in the technology because they're not speaking to what the employer is looking for. So just some really quick tips to get started.
I love it. I love it. And I keep coming back to the theme that we often run into in this segment together on a weekly basis is that, you know, with just in this time, I think there's an assumption that there's a lot of people looking for work, or there's a lot of, you know, there may be a lot of job openings, or if not a lot of job openings, a lot of people looking for those. And both on the employer side and employee side, you can get lost in the shuffle. And I think a lot of people don't take into account that dynamic right now, is that it's easier now to get lost in the shuffle than it was even pre-pandemic.
Yes. Absolutely, it is. And I think even further, you know, what you spoke to on the employer side, I'm hearing from people, you know, through these last few months about wanting to quietly make a change. And that can be because they just aren't passionate about what they actually do. They don't feel comfortable about how the employer communicated or handled shifts during the pandemic. Or, you know, the employer's gotten really conservative, and rather than rehire as they've lost people, they're just putting more work on people's plates. And so a lot of people, you talk about the burnout and the needing a break on the first week of January, let's then add that they're all at capacity in terms of workloads. So what are you expecting your people to carry? And a lot of them are quietly burning out and quietly really questioning where they work. And so the flip of that is the employer that is communicating clearly, often embracing their employees, giving grace to some of the stuff going on out there right now, you know, within reason and as makes business sense. And then also has continued to do everything they can to have the right people in place so that they're not burning out their folks, so that they continue to add what's needed to keep up with business and maybe even not just survive, but keep it moving forward or thriving. And that's what people are going to look for. Coming out of this, a call to every employer is, you know, things are just going to shift once people have air and brain and heart space to make changes. It's just going to happen. Right now, everybody's sort of hunkered down and in survival mode. But once that air breaks, they're going to start making changes. And so what are you doing to be ready with your employer brand? What are you doing to really understand the different accountabilities inside your organization, the roles and duties that are going to move you forward, and have your vision of what talent is needed to keep you going? Because if you're getting that ready, you're going to be in a much more powerful position to find the right people and keep moving forward.
Yeah, Devin Underwood, again, principal and founder of The Talent Store. And we talk workforce pivots, getting Tucson's workers and workers and employers back to work well here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. I got to think that part of the strategic planning conversation we had for businesses and last week, Devin, is having a check-in with your especially kind of key management and team leads in your company to not only communicate the vision, but say, how are you? And I think a lot of us want to rush right into the year. And it sounds like a check-in and a strategic reminder of where the organization is going is going to be so vital to a successful 2021.
Absolutely. There's a client I'm working with right now, and what we're focused on is employee internal communications. We're not even talking about external talent. We're talking about how do we start showcasing all of these exciting strategic visions we're talking about in our leadership meetings that our team doesn't really know about. And how do we get that out to them, get them excited, get them ready for the new year. And then at the same time, they're simultaneously rolling out a 360 review so that the employees have opportunity to then review the leadership and let them know how they're feeling so they can kind of get a pulse on that.
So important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got about 2 minutes here. Is there any other final tip on this topic or anything else you would give to our businesses and organizations, especially listening, or any people listening who maybe are thinking about making a shift? Any final words, and then your website where people can go and chat with you offline?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, for organizations, I'd love to talk about where do you want to head in 2021 and how do we find the right talent to get you there, whether that's looking at accountabilities and some shifts or moves within your teams, career pathing within your teams, or getting some new expertise from outside because of whatever shifts or pivots have gone on. And then on the talent side, you know, just really think about what lights me up, what gives me energy, what have I been really great at, and how do I apply that to my next move? And always you can get a hold of me at yourtalentstore.com.
No worries. I was just going to say, I love it. And I appreciate your advice and thoughts. And this could be, you know, a great year for our businesses, but a lot of the challenges we faced in 2020 are not going to go away right away in 2021. So thank you, Devin, for your guidance and your leadership and your work with Tucson's employers. It does make a difference in our region.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great day.
You as well. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, Workforce Pivots, with Devin Underwood, the principal and founder of The Talent Store right here in Tucson. Definitely connect with her to make sure that your 2021 has a foundation for success and you have the right people in the right positions. That does it for our show today. When we come back on Friday, we'll talk with Supervisor Steve Christie, Pima County Board of Supervisors, and more. We'll continue to debrief the events of the week. As always, our phone lines and our emails are open to you. Connect with us outside of the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for engaging. Stay safe and healthy out there. And we'll see you tomorrow, Tucson. Take care.